God's word for you, Mark 6, verse 34. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. We stand here with Jesus at the shore of the lake. Jesus is about to perform the most famous miracle of his earthly ministry, the feeding of the 5,000. But here before the apostles, or rather before the people are fed, before the crowds are seated by hundreds and by fifties, before the Lord asks about where the food is, the Lord had compassion on them and taught them. The Son of God was stirred with emotion, and his emotion stirs us. The word splanknidzomai is a churning of the stomach, a gut-wrenching feeling of pity and a reaching out of the heart. This is his compassion. What Jesus saw in the crowds, beyond their need, their hurt, their agony, was that they were leaderless, like sheep without a shepherd. A phrase that goes back to a prayer of Moses, who said, "May the Lord appoint a man over this community so that the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd." That's Numbers 27:15. The prophet Micaiah, not Micah, but Micaiah, used these words to describe a vision he had. He said, "I see all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd." That's in 1 Kings 22. It's also in 2 Chronicles 18. That was echoed by later prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah. Nearly every culture in the world knows about sheep, or at least about wool, and would understand this. Even if they don't call sheep by a name, we would recognize. But Luke gives us some details here that don't surprise us. First, Jesus also healed those who needed healing. And second, the teaching he did was about the kingdom of God. That's in Luke 9:11. So coming back here to Mark, the kingdom of God is another name for the invisible church. The one defining characteristic of this kingdom is faith. That means that we can't see it in other people, but we can see its results in one another. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not coming in a way you can observe, nor will people say, "Look, here it is," or "Look, there it is," because the kingdom of God is within you. That's Luke 17:20. Now, we have a record of what was taught just after this occasion in John's Gospel in John 6, but that was in the synagogue at Capernaum and not out here on the hillside with the crowds. We cannot say precisely what Jesus said to the people here, but since we know that he preached about the kingdom of God, we can at least remind ourselves of many things he taught about the kingdom. First, the kingdom of God is the rule of Christ the King and his ruling activity wherever his kingdom is. Second, Christ creates the kingdom through the seed of the word as he sows it in the hearts of the people who hear the gospel, like in the parable of the sower in Luke 8. "My heart trembles at your word," the great psalm says, Psalm 119:161. Third, good works naturally take place in the hands of those who hear the gospel and believe it. Such good works don't create faith, but they show that faith is present. Just as apples don't make an apple tree, but demonstrate that the tree is an apple tree. "Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word," Psalm 119, verse 17. Fourth, the path, the means of entering the kingdom, is the means of grace. This is the gospel in the word and in the sacraments. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him," John 14:23. And the psalm says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Fifth, the people of the kingdom want Christ to rule over everything in our lives, everything that we are and have and hope to be. He is the head, Paul says, of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, Colossians 1:18. Christ alone is our king. Nothing, least of all sin, should rule over us. As we learn in the psalm, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." Sixth, Christ refers to the church as his bride to show the intimate connection and love that he has with all believers. As he says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." Revelation 19:7. And later in Revelation, one of the seven angels said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Seventh, God permits the wicked to live among the godly until judgment day and does not destroy the wicked because, he says, "You may root up the wheat with them," Matthew 13:29. Here is the compassion of our Lord. The kingdom grows from such a small thing as the preached word or the washing of baptism into something large that benefits many, as we see in the parable of the mustard seed, Mark 4:30. And the psalm says, "May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous." Ninth, the kingdom works when the gospel is preached and spreads all through a person's life and transforms the whole lump and raises it, as in the parable of the yeast in the dough, Matthew 13:33. And the psalm says, "My comfort in my suffering is this, your promise preserves my life." Tenth, the kingdom is priceless, more valuable than any earthly treasure. And the psalm says, "Turn my eyes from worthless things, preserve my life according to your word." 11th, the people of the kingdom will finally be sorted out on judgment day, according to Matthew 13, and none of the righteous will be lost. "All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross," Psalm 119, verse 119 says. "Therefore I love your statutes." 12th, the teaching of the kingdom, the New Testament, fulfills the old, so that anyone who knows them both has treasures that are new as well as old. 13th, the Lord calls many into his kingdom who refuse him, and many who are unworthy, who are then made worthy by the preaching of the word of God. 14th, no one can remain in the kingdom apart from the righteousness of Christ. No one can remain based on his own righteousness. And 15th, all those in the kingdom have the faith of a little child, depending upon Christ alone, knowing that apart from Christ we are helpless and we have no merits at all. Psalm 145 completes the thought for us today. "Your saints will praise you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's word for you.